Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
In Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well here on this Wednesday. Good to have Drew back. He's been down in Northwest Florida for the last couple of days. So Dan and I took our turns running the board. So Drew is back doing that. Dan should be in. I haven't heard from him, so he should be in momentarily. I'm here, and it's Wednesday, so that means Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover also here in the studio. JC, how's it going?
Going good. Just
Drew's got to get used to pushing the buttons again.
Yep, got rustiness. No, doing good. Enjoying beautiful day. Along the warmer side.
It's warm. It's warming up. It was like it's 85 or a little bit warmer than that right now.
Yeah, but hey, it's nice outside. Doing that, and just still continuing to watch the portal. Me and Christian were on the road yesterday, went to Enterprise to check out a couple of guys.
They've got a couple of guys.
They got a few guys. They do. Yeah. We were there along with Clemson, Georgia, and Michigan. That's three pretty good ones to be there. Auburn will be there next week. So doing some of those things. Obviously got a lot of stuff going on. News today, the men's golf team, number one team in the country, is the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. We're heading to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, and that's what we were talking about that yesterday, and saying that's what it looked like, but you never know until it's all done. But good for them.
Yeah,
that's the closest spot that they could go and be the number one seed.
It's
probably about the closest spot. That in Chapel Hill, I guess.
Yeah, and Chapel Hill was North Carolina.
And North Carolina's a one.
Yes, so they were already going to be there. So, yes, so this one worked out good for Auburn to be in Baton Rouge. It'll be at their version of University Club, so it'll be similar to Auburn's AU Club. So that'll make it beneficial. But to be there, Virginia's a two seed. It's funny that Virginia and Yale are both in there. So a little opportunity for the golf team to get a little revenge for the basketball team down in that regional.
That is funny. I mean – it just tells you. I mean, some programs have pretty solid all-around athletic departments.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, so great opportunity for this team that has been on an absolute tear. Got really good players, a mix of older and younger. So that'll be in a couple of weeks. The women host next week at AU Club.
Starting Monday.
And so, an opportunity for folks to get out and see them walk around and watch them play. If you haven't ever done it and you're a golf fan, it'll give you an appreciation for how good the next level of golf is when you go watch this level of golf. Because there's some on this level that are going to play, and they'll eventually be on the LPGA and the PGA Tour. But it gives you an idea of, hey, how well they hit it, how well they strike the ball, all those things. So hopefully get some folks out to watch next week.
Yeah, that's great. Golf going on. You mentioned transfer portal, and Auburn has another player. We'd been wondering, yesterday was the deadline for players to enter the transfer portal, but then the graduates can enter the transfer portal after that. But Auburn had a player enter just wondered if he would be sticking around or not, in Coy Moore.
Yeah, it looks like Coy Moore will enter the transfer portal as a grad transfer, so he'll have a couple of years left for him. And so we'll see where it winds him up. He's a guy that has some experience and has played. Would be somebody that would probably be able to step in for a team. Wouldn't be surprised to see him maybe move down towards a Louisiana, go back home. Uh-huh. A team like – I could see that happening for him. But a guy I think can play – I think
he's got to stay healthy.
And another part of it is too, is when you're looking at a roster, I think Auburn has recruited over Coy Moore. That's the goal. That's what you want to do. But I think they've recruited better players.
Brian Vincent might be looking for that kind of guy.
Correct.
Back at ULM. You're one guy, going to play Auburn this season. You know, that's the game before Auburn rounds out the SEC. I believe ULM comes to town in November. I don't know, maybe. Like, I mean, if depending on what Coy Moore wants to do with the rest of his college football career, but I would think that would be a guy who, if he could find the right group of five or even lower level power five fit, might be able to get on the field more than he was going to be able to get on the field at Auburn this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's an opportunity to go search for playing time, and I think there's two schools of thought. You either want to move up and try to prove yourself at the highest of levels, or you move to search for more playing time. There, mm-hmm. And there's two things that are going on, and I can understand both of them. But this is obviously, I think, an opportunity for Coy Moore to try to search for more playing time.
And he's been in the Southeast enough that I do, you know, maybe he doesn't consider geography. Like, maybe he'll go play for whoever offers
and,
it to him.
And if older.
Yeah, that's yeah. true. So if he, you know, if it's Washington State, you know what I mean? Like wherever the opportunity could be, maybe he'll jump on it. But yeah, wish the best to Coy, a guy who came in when Auburn needed a lot of help at wide receiver. Like, you think about when Auburn was adding Coy Moore mm-hmm. and the other, like when they were looking for reinforcements in that room, and a guy who wouldn't be surprised if he is able to get on the field elsewhere in his college football career.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand him just sort of wanting a fresh start and hoping that he can go somewhere and things work out a little bit better for him than they did here. And Auburn's been looking, Auburn adding Keandre Lambert-Smith. So, I mean, there's another veteran receiver that Auburn has brought in along with the two guys we saw starting in the spring game and Robert Lewis and Sam Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like I said, you have improved that room. There's no question about it. How much, we'll see. But I think it's a better room than it was a year ago by a long
right.
shot. And I think that's where you've seen some of the movement because of that, where you're going, okay, but they've gotten better at those spots. Maybe there's not as much time for me.
When you add seven guys to a room in one off season, and seven guys like the ones that Auburn adds, and I do, you know, it's easy to forget, like, We saw four of them in the spring. You guys got to see more of them than I did because I was doing the show during the practice windows. But, I mean, there's also – we didn't see Lambert Smith with this group. If Auburn had not signed players like Bryce Kane and Cam Coleman, like, we would spend so much of this offseason talking about the impact Perry Thompson is going to make, and instead it's – almost a little bit under the radar that Auburn also signed a player like Perry Thompson, and then the guy who's probably the most under the radar of the four is, because there's all the talk of, well, wait till Perry Thompson gets here, there's also Malcolm Simmons, who just won
long jump, set a state record, I believe, in the long jump,
and an athlete that I've heard nothing but really impressive stuff about when folks have seen him as a football player, as a basketball player, and now an accomplished track and field athlete as well. But when you remake a room like that, Jason, it puts a lot of pressure on the guys that are already in there. Like, when you bring in seven guys like the seven Auburn is bringing into the receiver room, the seven they've added this offseason.
Yeah, no question about it. When you start, I mean, it's just the entire roster when you look at it, and you go, look, it is so very different. When you start talking about the number of different faces, names on this roster, I believe, if I'm right now, not counting Sean Jackson, who was a former walk-on, he was put on scholarship, not counting him, I think there's 16 players that are left that weren't brought in by this current staff. That's
16 now, scholarship players?
16 guys that were
17 months.
That were on the team for the 22 Iron Bowl.
Correct.
Right, like of guys that were here.
Correct, before in either one of the previous two staffs. I think there's only 16 guys left.
It's incredible. And I think a lot of them are probably playing their last year of college football this year. I mean, wait until next season and we'll see how many.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of those are set on the back end. But yeah, I think that's it. I mean, you've remade almost an entire roster. Here's the thing: a lot of those guys were transfers that were brought in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't high. This isn't developed high school guys. There's not any of those guys left. Hardly. You know, very few.
And with the portal closing, was it last night for football and tonight for basketball? I believe is the correct
right.
those
right
dates.
For non-grad transfers.
So with the portal closing, I mean, you think about where, you know, the way we talked about the roster going into the portal window and where we worried Auburn might not be able to hold on to everybody. Places like running back, tight end, Colton Hood, I think, is the closest thing to a guy penciled in for playing a lot of playing time or a rotational piece that Auburn ended up losing in the portal. But virtually everyone else, you know, it felt like, you know, the playing time was a big reason why they were leaving. And Auburn was able to hold on to, even at places where things seem crowded, Auburn has been able to hold on to everyone they counted on having this.
They retained just about everybody you would expect to be on the field. And obviously adding some more pieces to it. You're right, Colton Hood's really the one, a guy that probably would have been third corner, would have played a good bit. But other than that, you retained everybody. And like I said, you know, going back to wide receivers, you're adding in two incredible athletes to a room that is already much better than it was. Perry Thompson is every bit as big as Cam Coleman, different style guy, as dynamic, different type of player. Michael Simmons may be as good an athlete as there is in the country. You mentioned, you know, he just set the state record, broke Orlando Waters' state record for the long jump at 24-11. Orlando Waters played against him in high school. One of the top five players I've still ever seen at Anniston.
What would it do to our ankles, Bill, jumping 24 feet?
Yeah, I don't care if it's sand, water,
well, I mean,
whatever
first
it is.
First of all, what would propel me?
We need a cannon.
I would have to jump out of a plane.
Somebody, yeah. Really?
The old Ringling Brothers cannon would
but,
be needed to get
but
me 24
he
feet.
He also high jumped 7 feet, which is remarkable. I mean, he's not a 6'5 guy. Normally you don't see that from a high jump thing. So this is an incredible athlete. So you're adding in two of those guys already to that room.
Are the receiver skills not lagging behind, but is it a thing where maybe Malcolm was able to like I wonder often when we compliment a guy's athleticism like this, some of the more refined aspects of the position are coming along, but he's able to play at an advanced level because of the athleticism. Rivaldo talked about doing that earlier in his career.
I think it's similar because, listen, he was a wide receiver as a sophomore in Georgia, came back to Benjamin Russell as a junior. They had some wide receivers. He played more running back and DB, then went back to wide receiver. But then he's played basketball, and then he's run track. And so he hasn't been a guy that I kind of liken him to Courtney Taylor. I think he's probably faster than Courtney was.
Yeah.
But Courtney was the same thing. He played every sport. He never was one of those guys that, I'm going to go play 7-on-7 and be a wide receiver my whole life. That's all I've done. That's not who he is. Perry Thompson is similar in that I think he's a guy that still has some of those things to come, whereas Cam is the other end of the spectrum, ball skills through the roof. I mean, that's the reason why he's a guy that's probably more prepared than the other guys.
I remember hearing about Courtney Taylor, and this was early in my run, but I remember hearing about Courtney Taylor that if he had been able to play at a football factory that threw the ball a lot and he had just been a wide receiver his junior and senior years of high school, he would have been a top recruit or a much more highly touted recruit than he ended up being, but because he was playing all over the field.
Yeah, at a tiny 1A school.
Tiny 1A school playing all over the field, sort of arguments about what he was going to be at the college level, it impacted it.
But, yeah, and I think Malcolm's the same way. I think people said, hey, is he a DB? Is he a wide receiver? I think that's some of that as well, and sometimes that works, and that's why it's guys like him are why there's an athlete category, because you go like, hey, that guy's just – he's just somewhere, and you figure out where it is, and he'll get a shot at wide receiver.
I was back in Troy for the spring game this weekend doing some softball too, Jason, and I talked to somebody who saw a lot of Kieron Crawford last year at Arkansas State, and I think he fits into the same category you guys were talking about, and you know, the story there of, you know, didn't start playing football till his senior season, was an under-recruited basketball player, started playing defensive end. Like, that's a guy feels like that's a story that could end with a really, really impressive college football player, you know, getting you know, overplaying what folks thought he was coming out of high school.
Yeah, no, I think you look at it, and those are the guys that before the portal, those are the guys that you wind up seeing, hey, this guy's drafted in the third round. Man, nobody knew who this guy was, but, man, he just killed it. Those are the kind of guys that you had seen in the past. Now those guys are finishing. I mean, we just saw Jared Verse. I mean, you know, we just saw a guy that made a much bigger jump than Arkansas State to Auburn, what Jared Verse made, and the guy's first rounder. And that's what you have. You see it at there's a couple of positions. You rarely see it at skill positions. But you see it where guys grow and mature. Offensive line, especially offensive tackle, and it's normally the tight end that grows into the offensive tackle. And then you see that. You see,
or the power forward that grows into the tight end.
Or, yes, right? Or you see a guy that was a 230-pound defensive end, and you go, oh, man, he ends up being a 295-pound defensive tackle, and he gets drafted in the first round. I mean, those are the guys that you see make those kind of moves.
We're just underway here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell, Drew at the controls, and we'd love for you to join in. You can do so by calling The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, The Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. You can call Southeastern Industrial Contractors up. I don't give the number there enough. 334-209-6355. Find out more about the incredible opportunities they've got there at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And they sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center podcasts and the text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We'll get to our first break. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Attention, long 7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover. JC, I mean, yeah, there's been quite a bit. We mentioned the Keandre Lambert Smith. And one of the things we said yesterday, I guess before we get into that, is there could still be more players that pop up in the portal here over the next day or so, because there can be a lag.
Yeah, 48 hours.
Right, there can be a lag in the paperwork and everything being finalized.
Yeah, you have 48 hours for the school to put somebody in.
Right.
Basically, hey, if you want to try to talk them out of it or whatever, you got 48 hours to try to do that before they officially go in the portal. So. Yes, you might still have some folks going in there even, you know, tonight, tomorrow.
Showing up in there.
Showing up to the portal. Now, sometimes LHA, I'm in the portal and you'll have an idea. But, there could be a few names here or there. You know, it's
Is Auburn about where you expected numbers-wise? I thought there might have actually been a couple more that have gone in. I'm not talking specific people, but I just thought number wise.
Yeah, I thought there might be a couple guys that said, hey, I'm going to look elsewhere. But it does show you that this is a group that feels pretty good about what's going on right now.
Yeah, I think so.
When you keep folks, and because there's so many of them that were brought in by this staff and by Hugh Freeze, I think that makes a difference as well.
Sure.
Because you don't have as many holdovers. They don't know me. I don't know them. They don't believe in me. They didn't recruit me. There's not as much of that. I mentioned that small number of players. That small number of players, for the most part, are all guys that will be playing. Maybe not all starting, but you think about, you know, just the tight end room. You think about Luke Deal and Brandon Frazier, Michael Riley. That's three of the guys at one position right there. That's three of those 16 were at tight end. So you start thinking about guys like that, and you think about a Eugene Asante who did not play under Brian Harsin,
right,
and was on a scout, but he's an older guy. Jarquez Hunter, Damari Austin, two of those guys at running back. So you start thinking about it. There's some of those positions that have a few more than others. I think in the secondary, I think it's only Keontae Scott and Caleb Wooden. I think that's it.
Okay, yeah, I'd forgotten about Caleb, but it's like, you're right.
I think that's the only two guys that are here that weren't brought in the last 16 months.
And you know, as much consternation and, you know, concern as there has been about the transfer portal, if it weren't for the transfer portal, this would be a much longer process in trying to transform your roster.
You would have been years away. And there's still some holes and some need areas, and they have shored those up in a much better way, but you would have been a long, long way from being able to be. Now you,
here. I guess we're in the multiverse thinking this, but like I guess if it weren't for the transfer portal, maybe the roster's not as depleted in year two now under Harsin.
Yeah, you would still have some guys.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to restock a roster.
But you would have had the gaping holes that were two classes.
You'd be reliant on who you signed out of high school.
You're right about that.
Correct.
Which is another set of problems.
Yes, and again, going back, this is from Gus Miles on to Brian Harsin. You would have been left with nothing on the offense. You would not have had enough offensive linemen.
No, I mean, I mentioned this yesterday. I mean, that was the big concern a year ago, and it was addressed well. And now they've added Percy Lewis, moving Dylan Wade in, and that should be a strong point, one of the strengths of this team.
Yeah, and I had people that took the A-Day game and said, "Oh no," and I said, "Folks, just listen. Look, they're not scheming on offense. They're just
they're doing more on defense than they are on
offense.
They're
just running plays." I was at Enterprise yesterday. And hanging out with Travaris Robinson. T-Rob was there. Uh-huh. Obviously, he's at Georgia now. And we were laughing because he's like, "Man, you get out there," and he said, "That's what, the offensive coach," he said, "Enterprise, hey, just run fast. Don't matter if they're lined up." And he's like, "As a defensive guy at spring practice, you're trying to teach and learn. And the offensive coach is, hey, let's go as fast as we can." He's like, "It's killing me, to watch that." I think it was the opposite for Auburn in defense and the offense. I think they felt good about the offense where it was and said, "Hey, we're not going to go out there and scheme things, first of all, to show opponents, to show everybody else. Defensively, you can still be aggressive without doing a bunch of things. You can still be aggressive without showing a bunch of scheme." And I think they're a little bit more – I think offensively they said, "Look, we're just going to run some things and be done." And that's what they did.
I'm curious to see, what kind of steps defensively some of the year one guys from last year, who's taken a jump to year two. And we were talking about – it's a different sport. It's a different deal. But, like, Jani Broom made this incredible leap from year one to year two in the SEC. I think there are guys that were in year one in the SEC this year on both Auburn and Alabama that could make a really big jump from year one to year two. Auburn football had quite a few guys in year one in the program, in year one in the SEC, want to see who makes the jump from year one to year two.
Yeah.
Within that group, if it's, I guess, Jalen McLeod, comes to mind as a, and he was a really impactful player in his first year, but like that's a guy. And then I guess the other question is like how, we just did a podcast about Ferguson and I just did a podcast about the swing games on the schedule.
There's six of those.
What is A&M? Like what is
that's the whole point.
What's Missouri?
And it's in every sport because coming into this season, obviously there's some things that haven't gone right. But coming into this season, Auburn baseball, you go, "Man, I think it's a really good roster." But you just don't know what anybody else has because everybody's brand new. It's not like you look up and go, "Well, they got this guy, and this guy coming back. Okay, they added this guy." Well, you don't know that now. You have no idea who's on anybody's roster.
Wild fluctuations year to year.
And you're bringing in players from – I heard them talking about Texas A&M. I go, "Hey, they thought one of their best players was a edge rusher. Can't remember where he's from. Small school. I'll have to go find it." They're like, "Hey, this guy's a guy that they think is legitimate." What? Who knows? You don't know. Was he good because their offensive line's not very good? Is he that good? I think everybody has those questions, and so you just don't know how good of a roster you have to get on the field. You go, "I think we're good." Now, Georgia probably knows how good of a roster they have, but they're holes. Alabama's got holes. We saw it last year. Georgia had holes last year. I think you look now and you go, everybody's going to have holes because you're losing guys that 5 years ago would have been your second linebacker.
Right.
Now those people leave, and now you're playing a true freshman. But I do get back to your original point, second year guy. I think it's the biggest thing because you don't know what you don't know. You can still play. You can play at App State. You can do whatever you want to. You don't know what it's like in this league until you get in and play it 12 times. You can play one game and go, "Ooh, that was physical," and then next week you're playing ULM and you go, "Oh, okay." Well, in this league you don't do that. You go Texas A&M. Well, it's Georgia next week, and then LSU. Until you're in it, you just don't know how to prepare for it, and I think you get that after a year.
All right. As Auburn's still in the market and still looking, Khalil Jacobs.
Yeah, he's making it in. Yeah, as far as I know, he's supposed to leave tomorrow.
And then I believe they've got a visit set up with Javion Cole,
DB from San Jose State. Right. Yeah, so there's a couple of those.
They're still looking to add a couple of guys if they can. That doesn't mean they won't continue looking. That's the other thing that people need to remember is just because players may be done entering the portal, they don't have to make a decision right now.
No, yeah, this is just the end of going in. The visits will continue for a while, and we said in basketball, everywhere, you better keep trying to make your roster better.
Yep.
At every turn, your goal is to try to make your roster better. And, you know, I think can you get the right mix of youth and experience, maybe somewhere in between. You know, the linebacker from South Alabama would be a guy that's in between, has played a couple of years, not a grad transfer. You've got three older guys, and you've got –
right.
A couple
now,
of young guys.
The cornerback's another story. He's an experienced guy.
Correct.
With 1 year.
And that's it. And that's where you're going, hey, we need somebody else that has done it a bunch.
Because we've got a bunch of young guys.
Feel really good about Antonio Kite and J.C. Hart. You get T. Scott back and Jalen Crawford. You go, man, we really like this young group. But if something were to happen to one of those other guys, even Kay and Lee has played some. He hadn't played a ton. And you go, okay, having another older guy there would be beneficial. And so, yeah, I think it's can you get the right mix of guys and try to build the roster. And, I mean, you know, it's wild because you look at it in different sports, it's different things. You look at it, I mentioned this week earlier, it's like Alabama all in on the basketball roster. And I said, look, I can say that and not degrading because I think Auburn roster is really good.
But Auburn was able to retain a lot of players, not having to add as many.
And a different type of roster where you're going, hey, look, we want the pieces to form a group, whereas, hey, let's just go get the best guys we can get.
Yeah.
Will it work? It'll work both ways.
It can, but it doesn't mean it will.
On either side.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you just don't know. You better do the one you're most comfortable with. And for Bruce Pearl, it's obviously – I want to build a roster that complements each other and guys that are willing to play that role.
And he loves to get guys who are trying to move up to the bigger stage.
Coach Cal's doing some of the same things at Arkansas.
Yeah.
It's really
interesting. And Mark Pope is giving a couple guys
absolutely
a first shot. And we were talking. There
very some different things at schools that have normally been just going to recruit as high as they could get.
Yeah, and going as young as they could in the past. Yeah, you're seeing both Arkansas and Musselman used the portal too. But Calipari wasn't nearly as reliant on the portal.
No, because you could get any. Well, I tell you, Duke's another one.
Yeah.
Duke, even though these signing classes are really good, Duke's gone out and gotten a couple of transfer portal. It's you can see it where guys are going, man, you can be as talented as you want, but when you play a team that's got eight seniors and you're not going to over talent that experience.
I saw
you're sure not gonna, I mean, it's not gonna be something that just they can't handle, that it's oh wow they can't deal with something like that because they've been around.
Yeah,
I do wonder. I saw a note about how many of the top players in the portal this year in men's basketball are guys utilizing their COVID year, guys playing their final year of college basketball and having that extra year available. I think I want to say it was like 44 of the top 100. Of the you know, in one services ranking of the top 100 guys who had gone into the portal since the season ended, 44 of them were guys who were playing their final year of college basketball utilizing the COVID year, which suggests things could thin out in the portal starting next year, right? Once guys, I mean, I guess you could still have upperclassmen at the end of their careers, but you won't have as many of them because
maybe not as many, but I mean, the thing is, NIL also has kept a lot of guys around a little longer. I mean, guys that might think, well, I'm probably not going to make it in the NBA, but I'll go overseas, have got another option before they go pro.
But I do wonder if these last two.
The number may not be quite as big.
If Bruce is adding a guard and a forward, what a luxury it would be to add guys with more than 1 year of eligibility left because you could count on them as potential contributors.
Bridging the gap.
Yeah, after the season. And that's what we were saying. Duke Miles.
Well, Duke Miles could have two, it looks like.
Yeah, Duke Miles only played six games in a year where Troy played over 30, the year he got hurt. I guess you could seek a red shirt for that season. And then you don't know what Auburn could be doing at forward.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Let's get into basketball when we come back on the other side. We'll talk some baseball as well. Love for you to join us, whatever is on your mind. 334-321-1390 as we continue here with the Wednesday Drive. Yeah, I figure.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll-free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 22 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover with us for a little while longer, as he is, always when he can, with us here in the studio on Wednesdays for hour number one. And we were talking a little basketball as we went to our bottom of the hour break. And, yeah, Jason, Auburn, with the addition of J.P. McGee's, looking to add another guard. We know that Duke Miles is someone that they're very interested in. R.J. Godfrey looks like he's Georgia-bound. At least that's what it appears now. Is Auburn still looking for someone else? I mean, I had somebody yesterday say, you know, don't forget, there's, you know, there's Ja'Kai Howard and Chris Moore coming back as well.
Yeah.
Auburn's got players that could play down there in the front court.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, I fully expect Jani Broome to play the four and to play the five. And so you got – and. You know, Adarin Scott, how much has he improved? Can he be a guy that gives you some minutes?
Because
you
have another, he'll be a guy going from year one to year two.
You have another bigger body, and so you have a guy like that in there. I think it's one of those situations where, look, you're still looking because, I said, you always want to improve your roster. I don't think it's a, hey, absolute must.
Yeah, and it's tough. Because you don't have 20 plus minutes a game, or looks like you could step right into a starting role that you can offer.
Yeah, I think it makes it a little more difficult, but I think you're going to be looking. I think for Auburn, because you know this is the one where, like Dan mentioned, this is the one where if you could find somebody with 2 or 3 years,
oh yeah,
to where you go, hey, we want you to come in, work with those guys, and get some playing time, and then be the guy next year. That's where you go, hey, guy, talented guy. That maybe hadn't played as much at his first school. Okay, hey, come in, give us a year. Look what we've done with our other guys. You come in to be the guy in 2 years, and it's going to be your show. That's ideally what you could, if you could find that guy.
And if it's a lot to put on a true freshman in this era of college basketball, right? I suppose that could be Ja'Kai Howard. Like that, it doesn't. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
I think he's more of a three, though.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they need a legit four.
It would be like if they were to try to absorb it internally, like I guess AD Scott would be an option too, and then there is it feels like a stretch to ask Chris to play.
Yeah, he's done it
when he had to play the four. I wondered, heard anything more? I mean, a guy that we just heard mentioned when he was the last Cal guy to enter the portal, Jordan Burks. A guy who is from the state of Alabama that entered the transfer portal from Kentucky. He's a big. He's a guy that played a little four and five, didn't play a whole lot of minutes at Kentucky this past year.
Yeah, I hadn't heard.
I just thought that's somebody that sort of fits that multiple years, was recruited in the SEC, and I don't know. I mean, I just wonder, somebody like that.
Yeah, that'd be somebody I could see if it was somebody in that situation.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the Drive hotline, sponsored by Sky Bar. And John is up first. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Good show as always. Had a basketball question for you and had a football question, if I might.
Sure.
The basketball question I had for you, you know, just thinking about how these Pearl teams at Auburn have been perceived by the national media, am I not mistaken in thinking this might be the most highly touted an Auburn team is by the national media this coming up season? Because I don't remember a whole lot of years under Pearl that Auburn's even been top 10 preseason in the AP or coaches.
I believe the Final Four team entered the season as a preseason top 10 or top 15 team because they'd won the conference the year before, and they brought back Bryce and Jared and the other key pieces from that group for the most part. But I think that might be the only time, unless it was also true of the, I don't think the Jabari Smith team even went
was
into.
Was that 22?
That would have been 22, right? Would have been
they were 14 or 15. I just looked at that one.
So you may be right, John.
18 and 22 would be the 2 years where I think Auburn went into the season. 18 might have been a top 10 team going in.
I'm sorry, 18 I thought was like 15 or 20 because I remember we kept building before that Maui tournament, and I think Duke was maybe the first team that got us, that Zion Williamson team. And so anyway, just a thought I had there. Secondly, just a quick thought on Auburn football, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember this time of the year thinking it, but I go back to maybe Ben Leard as like the last time in an Auburn season I can remember thinking like, wow, I think we can throw it on anybody. Just wanted y'all's thoughts on like quarterbacks in the fall where we've thought within an offensive scheme like, wow, we can really throw the ball efficiently and effectively and kind of do it on anybody. I don't remember a lot of that in recent or even not so recent history.
Yeah, no. Just look at Auburn's history in terms of throwing the football.
Not prolific numbers.
You just haven't had those offenses, and I think that's part of it. Combining the scheme offensively with then getting the talent to be able to do some of those things, Look at the NFL draft to go, what's the most important things right now in football? It was quarterback, wide receiver, offensive tackle.
Yep.
That was it. I mean, that was the first 15 or 16 picks, maybe more, other than Brock Bowers, who's a big glorified wide receiver. You look back in Auburn, and I mean, just look, there have been pieces. We saw Bo Nix. Bo Nix obviously has the talent to be that guy. Wide receiver group wasn't there. Offensive line group wasn't there. Scheme wasn't there. If for either of the guys he played for, that wasn't the scheme to develop that kind of passing attack.
No, and Jarrett Stidham was
for 1 year when they cut it loose in 2017.
Right.
That was one of the better passing years
really
Auburn had, and they ran it and they did some of those things. But yeah, it's been few and far between. You mentioned Ben Leard. There were bits and pieces of those with Ronnie Daniels, obviously, that did it. Damian Craig in 97 when he had those guys outside.
Yeah, Auburn couldn't run the ball much,
And Stan White with Frank Sanders and Thomas Bailey. There have been bits and pieces of teams, but we have never seen an Auburn team that went out there and had a guy that threw for 4,000 yards.
No.
It hasn't happened in history of this program. And that's what you've got to get to. You don't have to get to that much, but you're right. You got to be able to throw it when everybody knows you're going to throw it and still be able to do it.
Exactly. Thank you guys much. Love the show.
Appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Yeah, I was going to ask you, Jason. I mean, now it's still not a finished product. I mean, there could, as we said, there could be a player or two that decide that we don't know about the end of the portal, or Auburn could add a player or two. But right now, where is the position that is the biggest concern? Obviously, a year ago, there was offensive line, there was receiver, there were so many spots. Auburn is shored up,
yeah.
It appears. I mean, they at least brought in players that will add to the numbers trying to shore up a lot of positions.
I don't think you look at the roster now and you go, man, they're in trouble. I don't see one of those spots on this team. Now, could you get better and do something? Yeah,
sure.
But I don't see a spot where I go, man, that team's in trouble. They help themselves on the defensive line.
Absolutely.
Can you still find a difference maker on the interior? I think Keldry
Falk. Can they get after the quarterback? They've got to be able to get after the quarterback without having to send extra guys.
Yeah, and I think they'll do some of that anyway because I think that's just DJ Durkin's nature. But Jalen McLeod, you bring in, obviously, Kieron, you have a guy like that. Keldrick Falk, can he give you that from the down defensive end mm-hmm. position? Bobby Jameson, Travis, DJ Reed, can they push this group of transfers who are guys I think are solid players? I don't know that you have one of those guys to be that elite pass rush guy, but do you have somebody that can step into that role and push the pocket from the middle? I mean, to me, that's still the question. You can fix some of that by scheme and doing some things like we talked about, but you don't want to have to do that all the time. It's because, you want to get off the field. You want to create turnovers, do those things. but you don't want to have to do it by sending six or seven guys every time. And so to me, that's still the one. I mean, you know, just consistency on offense. But I think the pieces are there, much more pieces than they've had in a long time, I believe.
All right, we'll get to our final break. We'll talk some baseball and love to hear from you. We still have time for you to join us here in hour number one of the Wednesday Drive.
I'm Jessica Samuel with
390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment of hour number one, and Yellowhammer is up. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. Y'all are talking about pieces, having the pieces, you know, basketball, football, whatever. And there have been years when Auburn had certain pieces and they could do this, and then had certain pieces and they could do that. But, and I'm not criticizing Auburn because this may be rare for anybody to have all the pieces on defense, offense, and kicking, to where you can't say there's any one position that's lacking.
No, it's – yeah, I would say when you start talking about it, I mean, even
– It's rare for any team.
Yeah, like those Georgia teams the last few years would be ones that you go, hey, when they finally added a couple of wide receivers to go along with the tight end, they had to run a game. Those were teams you go, okay, that's a full team. Those Alabama teams of 3 or 4 years ago in Clemson, but – you go, yeah, those are complete football teams. Look at even Alabama and Georgia last year. I mentioned it. There were holes for those teams, and they recruited better than anybody in the country. And so it's very rare when you start talking about, I would say one, two teams in the country a year where they go, yeah, we feel pretty good about our roster. I think everybody right now is searching for other pieces to add to those rosters.
Can you talk about the Auburn past history where you saw a team or two that might have at least approached that?
2004 would be the most of a football team in my estimation. 2010 wasn't.
No, 2010, I mean, Auburn was
– I mean, they were good.
They had some experienced guys that had gone through some tough times.
I really like the makeup of 17's team because you had so much coming back from 16 that you felt good about.
Yeah.
And then there was also the and then you added Jarrett Stidham and the belief that maybe you're gonna add some explosive passing to a team that felt like that was the only thing really missing from
when they clicked, they were as good as anybody in the country. It just took them a while to get there.
Yep. And then one injury.
The lack of depth or a star being
correct.
Knocked out.
That was the other part of it. Is like you didn't have the next few guys when Kerryon went down and Yari without Cam. That destroyed that team. 2004 was the most complete team that I can remember. 83, 88. Yeah, you know, and those things.
80.
But offensively, because of what they did, they had the pieces. They just didn't turn it loose. 93 was, I don't know, it was just a team that did everything the way it
was. The team, the sum was bigger than the parts.
Correct.
I mean, that was one of those. It was not overwhelmingly the most talented team.
To me, 2004 was a team. Yep. And that team, if they're playing football in 2024, probably averages 38 points a game and is winning games 38-13 and blowing the doors off people. That's just not the style of play that they played with and Tuberville played with. And so they won closer games that they controlled, that they looked less dominant outside. Auburn people knew how dominant they were. The country was like, oh, that's a good team. But that was a great football team that just – because of the style of play. I mean, the Sugar Bowl.
They didn't have to do those things.
They shut it down to get on to the next game. Mm-hmm.
Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer. Got a couple of minutes left, Jason. I mean, baseball, I mean, Auburn finally snapped their conference losing streak. Three conference teams left, three weekends left here, and Auburn needs to – I mean, they need to win. They need to win, I'd say, 7 of 9. Probably, maybe at least.
Yeah, I think
to try to make the tournament.
I think it takes more than that. I think they got to have eight. I think 8 out of 9 in a minimum, just by looking at the way the conference is already set up. There's too many teams that have won games and still having nine left. I think it.
Yeah, you're three games back of the team next ahead of you.
Correct.
You got to get ahead of two.
I think you'd probably got to get to 11 to give yourself a chance, and that would be 8 out of 9. That's going to be really, really difficult,
no,
even though this is the easiest three-game stretch of the entire season. Not easy, but it's the easiest stretch when you're talking about Alabama. I mean, Ole Miss at Missouri, Alabama at home the next 3 weeks. I think just go out, win some games, have some fun, try to build a little confidence, try to find some more of these pieces to build in the next season, to me, is the first goal. But you want to keep playing until you can't, you don't have anything to play for, and that you're still there, so you can keep going.
Man, the hour flew by. Jason Caldwell with us. Jason, let everybody know, I mean, what all's going on, how they can keep up with everything there at Auburn Undercover and follow you.
That's it, auburnundercover.com, part of the 24/7 network. You can follow me on Twitter at @ITATJason. I think we have all the Instagram, TikTok, YouTube page, all those things from Auburn Undercover. You can all check those out as well. So lots going on, and we'll have you into the weekend.
All right. Appreciate it, Jason. See you at the ballpark.
Absolutely.
All right. That's going to do things for hour number one. We're back with the second hour. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Build the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two here on the Wednesday Drive. Another beautiful day. It is warmer today, though. Jason's trying to get out. Buzz him out. There we go. We had Jason locked in the building. Yeah, it's a little warmer today. I mean, mid-80s, and yeah, summertime's getting here in a hurry. So just be careful if you have to be out and about for a long. But it is great. It's gorgeous. Didn't get the rain that we were thinking we might get yesterday. We'll see if any comes. Hopefully it really doesn't come Saturday. I think that was the next chance that there might be. That wouldn't be good, since isn't Saturday graduation?
Saturday is graduation. Yeah. I believe there are also Sunday graduation events scheduled.
Yeah, there are. And that may be, as we were talking with Andy Bertram yesterday, why we have different starting times for baseball. I mean, I know TV has a lot to do with it, but 6, 7, and 3 for baseball this weekend. Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover being with us in hour number one. Hopefully you got to hear JC. If you missed any of that or any of the drives, check out the podcast.
Podcasts of the Drive, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, an Alabama-based firm offering incredible opportunities for students seeking a great career without attending four-year college. 334-209-6355 to learn more about Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They sponsor the podcast, which you can get however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU and use the Podcast Center.
Hour number two of The Drive, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can join in. We'd love for you to. Call us on the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box. Drive text box, open 24/7. So if you're listening to the podcast, you hear something, you're not able to call in, you want to fire off something, the podcast, the text box is always open. Remember to offer a name or a give us a way to identify you if you want your comment read on the air. But the podcast, 334-564-1840 is the Drive text box, and that's presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors as well.
Hey, something I wanted to mention, because it includes three Auburn men. The Board of Directors of the State of Alabama Sports Hall of Fame announcing its class. They announced that they're a class of 24 will be inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame this Saturday. And there are some familiar names on the list, including former Auburn pitcher Scott Sullivan. You've got former Auburn and former Auburn basketball player, and then AUM coach Larry Chapman. And then Mr. Roy Parker being introduced as well. So that is, you've got seven or eight inductees into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame coming up on Saturday. So really, really, really looking for Looking forward to those guys. Very, very deserving as they are being introduced into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Mr. Roy is someone that now, Dan, anytime we've been to football practice, he's always
there. Right.
I mean, he is and has been a big, big contributor and one of the, you know, one of the most staunch supporters of Auburn athletics, Auburn football for years and years. So congratulations to those and all the recipients and the new inductees into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. And they will be inducted on Saturday. All right. We talked with you in hour number one, a couple of things. There is an addition from the Auburn football team that we know of. There may be someone else. I mean, because it can take, as Jason said, 48 hours. Schools have 48 hours to submit all the paperwork once a player is entering the transfer portal. But Auburn receiver Coy Moore entering the portal, and he'll be entering as a grad transfer after 2 years at Auburn. So that's not the most shocking news after Auburn added an experienced receiver just in the last week in Keandre Lambert-Smith.
Right, and Coy Moore was one of the players when you looked at the holdovers from the Malzahn regime, although there are very few of those left on the roster, but then even the guys who joined the team when Brian Harsin was the head coach, those would be players who, just around college football, you know, if you're not playing for the coach that you that initially recruited you, if there are younger options that the new coach recruited competing with you for snaps on the depth chart, those are the kind of players who you know make a decision about what they want out of the rest of their college football careers. And for Coy Moore, you know, we'll see if he decides to stay at the major conference level and add to somebody else's depth chart, or if he's going to drop down to a place where maybe he's going to have a more clear path to a lot of playing time. But yeah, I think it's becoming pretty natural in college
right.
football, and you know, for players at the stage in their career that Coy Moore is at to pursue other options.
Has Coy got 1 or 2 years?
I thought it was 1 year left.
I know he has one. I wasn't sure if he had more than one.
I seem to remember there being sort of a question during last season as to whether or not Coy Moore had another year, right? Like it was, I thought that we went into, like we were wondering if Coy was a junior or a senior before last season started. Maybe he has 2 years left, but I seem to think this is Coy's last year of college football.
Yeah, I think so as well. And of course, he's a native of the state of Louisiana. We'll see where he winds up. So I've got Auburn, I believe, with 78, pretty surprising number from Jason. In case you missed that, Jason said he went and looked back, and not including Sean Jackson, who was awarded a scholarship as a walk-on, there are, of the 78 players that are on scholarship right now, only 16 were scholarship players at the end of the 21 season.
It's incredible. I mean, you think about that, 22 season.
22 season.
Yeah,
my bad.
I mean, this is there are 16 players
in 16 months. Yeah. Basically, the roster has been reduced to 16 players who are still there.
Yeah, the last game, Cadillac's last game as interim head coach,
right.
was 22.
Yes.
Was the Iron Bowl in 22? And so, if you were to look at the roster of the 22 Iron Bowl. And then, I mean, I may
have that.
You may have the Bill Cameron depth chart from
the
22
Iron
Bowl.
I may still have archived, the program or something.
Archived version
here.
There. Yeah,
I've got a lot of old programs.
Virtually nobody from that roster is still on the team. Like it's incredible the turnover we've seen.
I've got it
it's only
less than a year and a half.
Yeah, it's only been 12, 13 games, but it's about a year and a half, and two coming up on two full off seasons since then. But it's amazing how drastically things have changed on the roster. And I don't believe now, with Cadillac and Zach pursuing other options, I don't think there's a coach from that 22 Iron Bowl that is still with the program as well.
No, I don't think so,
because the two holdovers were
you're right
were Cadillac and Zach. And so not only do you have You also don't have a single coach from the, because Marcus was a Hugh Freeze hire.
Absolutely, Marcus.
It was Ike Hilliard.
Yes,
whose name came up the other day. And someone mentioned.
Oh yeah, what's Ike doing?
I don't know what Ike Hilliard is doing now. He was mentioned as a former Auburn coach. I want to say Ike went back to the NFL, but I don't know the answer to what Ike Hilliard has.
Ike Hilliard is the receivers coach of the Falcons.
Okay, yeah, I thought that he gotten he'd gotten an NFL. I'd heard that his name was in the news fairly recently. So yeah, that's a guy.
Yeah. Look at that turnover. And again, here's something. If it weren't for the transfer portal, I agree with Jason that this would be a years long process to try to transform the roster and become competitive. I'm not saying that Auburn's going to be competing for the conference title this year, but I think Auburn's a lot closer to that than they could have at all if it hadn't been for the transfer portal. I think this, we asked Jason toward the end of hour number one, what area is the biggest concern right now? And it's really hard to find one where you go, well, that's a position group that just isn't going to be competitive in the Southeastern Conference.
Right, and with the Auburn football, I guess folks would worry about quarterback,
sure,
because of where Auburn.
Well, I mean, only one guy is experienced.
Right, and even the experienced option had a pretty uneven first year with the team. But no, I think Auburn has done a very good job. I mean, I think the offensive line was maybe the place where.
Well, that was the biggest concern going into last year.
Well, going into last year, coming out of 22. I mean, you think about Auburn offensive line recruiting had been something cited.
It had been void. It had been nil. Yeah. There really hadn't been any recruiting in the offensive line.
Out of high school? You think about Auburn? I mean, Auburn had really struggled to sign guys who turned into productive players out of high school on the offensive line for the last couple of years of the Malzahn era and the entirety of the Harsin era, to the point where when Hugh Freeze got here, Auburn said, geez, it's possible. And you don't want to go into an offseason with a situation, Bill, where you're saying three or four of the starting offensive linemen on next year's team are not on the roster right now. Like that was the situation that Hugh Freeze stepped into, was where he said in order to get – because of where the roster is now and some of the players who had left and some of the players that Auburn had missed on recruiting, like Hugh Freeze had to add – three or four starters.
Yeah, and he went to the transfer portal, was able to flip Connor Liu, and that really looks to be a huge addition. I mean, being able to get the anchor of your offensive line who ended up having to play as a true freshman some last year.
Tuttle was going to Ole Miss, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Flipping Tuttle.
But, you got a junior college and a freshman and transfers that have come in, and really – Jeremiah Wright is the one guy who was a holdover that has, been able to move in and now is expected to be a starter.
I don't know if Auburn thought they were going to get a second year out of Dylan Wade. It seemed like he was going to do one year and then test the draft waters. But here he is sliding inside to guard. Could be an important part of what Auburn does in the offensive line. But no, Connor and flipping Connor and Tuttle. Guys that other SEC schools would have absolutely wanted, and I mean guys that were going to go to other big time programs, and landing both of those guys, it could be huge because they project as projected starters right now going into their second year on the team.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to the phones, and Jeff is up first this hour. Hey Jeff.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good. With respect to the Porter basketball, where are we at with that? Is the Porter shut down at this point, or?
Well, today is the last day that players can enter the basketball portal. Although
11:59 p.m. Yes. Eastern, I believe, is when the paperwork needs to be in if you are a basketball player going into the transfer
portal. And of course, but that doesn't mean that once players are in, then they don't have to do anything. There's no huge rush for them to make decisions. And it may be the same way we were talking with football. It could be a day or two later when the official word comes out about players getting in the portal. But no, I think you've got a pretty good idea of who there is. I mean, there have been a couple of guys that have gotten into the portal here over the last day or so. And we know what Auburn's situation is there at guard. Their top priority is Duke Miles, who's been on campus for the last 24-plus hours. Really don't know the situation if they're going to be able to add anybody in the front court. Don't know who the most likely candidate for that would be. Mentioned yesterday, I think, that Auburn is one of the a multitude of schools who's contacted San Diego State's Elijah Saunders. But he's a guy that I think may be looking for more assuredness of playing time than Auburn could offer.
Yeah. What about the kid from Clemson that we're hearing about?
Well, he canceled his visit to Auburn. He was supposed to have come in yesterday, and word was Georgia has come in with pretty much assuring him a starting spot and strong NIL. So it looks like he may wind up in Athens.
Can't fault that. It's all about spending money.
No, well, that and playing time. I mean, you know, if he came into Auburn, it would probably be, hey, we can get you 15 and see if you can earn more minutes than that. But Georgia is saying you can get 25 and that will pay you more.
On a team that could be trendy this offseason after making a run in the NIT. I think it's not even a controversial thing, Bill, but it sounds controversial. Mike White's a pretty good coach.
I think so.
Like, I think Mike White's a pretty good coach, and you know he didn't win the way Donovan did, and so I think people have this one, you know, this idea about about what he can do. But I think he's going to get Georgia to the tournament soon. You know, maybe a year, maybe two, and that hasn't been something a lot of coaches have done over the last couple of decades.
Yeah, I think this coach at Georgia, I wasn't a big fan of his in Florida, but he's a pretty good coach. So Auburn's going to have a lot of competition there to get some of those Georgia kids in the coming years. Because I think this Mike White probably going to press some of them to stay home.
Yeah, well, he better. I mean, it's been crazy that Georgia hasn't been able to keep more of those top players at home.
If he can't keep those players at home, he's going home.
That's probably right.
That's the way it's worked the last couple of years in Georgia.
Yeah, Bill, Dan, I have a little thought. Yesterday, you guys were going back in time with Andy with some of the great calls. And, oh, my God, I was getting the chills hearing some of those moments. And it made me thought about the late Jim Fife. I remember growing up, used to listen to him, some of his calls. I actually have a video with some of his greatest calls, and it's unbelievable. To just hear the cheers. Maybe between he and Rob, maybe sometime during the dead of summer, if it's all possible, maybe you could clammy up some of those old calls and entertain us a little bit during the dead part of the summer, if that's something that could be considered.
Oh, yeah. That's always a fun kind of thing to do. You know, your favorite calls.
You knew Jim Fife a little bit, Bill.
Oh, yeah. I would say.
You knew Jim a little bit.
Shared an office for a few years over there in Munger.
Sadly.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my. I used to wake up on Saturdays in the early, mid-'80s prior to TV and hear the pregame with he and Trotman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then with Sullivan, before Sullivan went on the sideline, they were a great tandem.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. And, I mean, back then, of course, every game wasn't on TV, so you needed to be listening, and he was about as entertaining as it gets.
Yeah, I remember his calls on basketball. That he would love to holler out where your hometown was.
Hello. Yes, that's right.
Oh, my God. And we're in Barkley years, high in the stratosphere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was. Jim grew up in Paintsville, Kentucky, and basketball was his first love, and you could tell it. And he was one of the best basketball announcers you'd ever want to hear.
I probably say people's hometowns too much when I'm calling basketball games, and I feel like that's maybe part of the reason why.
No, that's great. I love it. Jim was unbelievable in some of his football calls. I'll say this, the last one. I was living out of state, and I remember hearing the call, the 87 game, I believe, at Georgia Tech, if you guys can remember that game, the Tillman,
yes.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't think ever stop saying Tillman.
No, that's great.
Oh, my God. When I hear that now, I still get cheers for the late Jim. I just wanted to share that. Bill, I love your show. If you guys could sometime during the summer, during the dead part, to entertain us, that would be great.
Oh, glad to. Yeah, that's a great idea, Jeff.
Find someone who can tell some stories or find some old calls or something like that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, Jeff. Thanks for the call. 334-321-1390. It's 520 here on a Wednesday afternoon.
I never met Jim Fife, Bill. I'm told.
I've got a lot of stories. Can't tell a lot of them on the air, but I got a lot of stories.
I've met and worked with so many people who knew him, and I'm told, you know, we would have gotten along at times.
Well, he got along with most people.
No, it's such a huge part of the history of the program.
Oh, no question about it. We'll get to our first break here of hour number two. Love for you to join in here on the Wednesday Drive.
Big Eating in Auburn and Opelika.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, been a fun show here thus far. As you know, there's not a lot of, at least I haven't seen it, not a lot of like big breaking sports news today.
This is a pretty significant time. Like Auburn's in a good spot basketball wise because so many of their contributors are already on the team,
right?
And they can start focusing on other stuff. A lot of the biggest names in college basketball are in the portal. A lot of the biggest programs in college basketball are still
fishing.
Yeah, are still fishing out there. And so names we've talked about. I mean, Jonas Idu, the Tennessee big going to Arkansas. That's a nice pickup.
Cal is somebody's getting after it there at Arkansas and bringing the players in. He's never been, you know, the guy hitting the portal as hard as this Arkansas team is doing. But I mean, I guess when you're starting over completely from scratch and, you know, you're behind where other players have signed, at least in the from the high school level. But if you want to compete early, I think it's wise to hit the portal and see what you can get.
Yeah, John L. Davis is the FAU guard, was the best player on FAU's Final Four team. A lot of people thought he was going to follow his former coach to Michigan, but he visited Arkansas over the weekend, and the reports came out earlier today that he's going to go with the Razorbacks. Jeff Goodman, who's become one of the he's a Field of 68 is his outlet, yeah. But he's become one of the most plugged in guys to the NIL space, especially in the transfer portal. He said on Twitter earlier today that the offer from John L. Davis to the offer from Arkansas to John L. Davis is, quote, north of $1 million, unquote.
Well, that was what we heard when Cal took the Arkansas job, was that their NIL was, they felt like no one was going to top their NIL for basketball.
Right, and that's sort of one of the reasons. I mean, John Calipari chose to leave, right?
Arkansas, he
was not bought out. He was not fired, crucially, because there was a lot of money at stake if Kentucky decided to fire him. And it was going to take a really unique, special situation to get Calipari out of Kentucky. I don't think he was going to leave for another job unless he thought he could win.
Yes, I agree.
At that new job. He thinks he can win at Arkansas.
I mean, the thing is, you know, coaches that have won, I mean, people who are used to winning like this, their egos, it would be very difficult to go to a place where you didn't feel like you had a chance to win. And I mean, win immediately.
And then I saw, speaking of Jeff Goodman, listen to this. You've got just breaking down the pieces that Mark Pope has assembled. You think about,
yeah, you were talking about the defenders yesterday.
Well, think about how reliant Calipari and Kentucky in general was on super freshmen.
Yes,
right?
it was projected lottery picks. The most highly touted freshmen in the country.
There are 5 5th-year seniors that have signed with Mark Pope and Kentucky in the transfer portal. Lamont Butler, Kirk Crissa is the point guard from West Virginia who picked them earlier today. Kobe Brea, Andrew Carr is the Wake Forest big, and then there's Amari Williams. 5 fifth-year seniors combined, Bill, 565 career college basketball games for the 5 fifth-year seniors. Wow. That Mark Pope has brought in as part of his first group.
That's a lot of games. I mean, you're averaging 113 games per player, and that's a lot of games for a senior. That means you've played 28 games a year for 4 years.
Yeah, it's gonna be an older group, to say the least, at Kentucky for Mark Pope in year one. Otega Awe is the Oklahoma big. He just chose Kentucky. Oklahoma State. They just lost their big to Kentucky as well, Brandon Garrison, and they've both played north of 60 games in their college basketball career as well. Maybe Garrison was just a freshman last year, who's played only 30 instead of 60, but still, it's a very experienced group, and some of the projections really like the different defensive pieces. Lamont Butler, one of the toughest players in college basketball, former Chad Baker Mazzara teammate at San Diego State back in the day, 4-year starter for them. We're just talking about John L. Davis going and getting a guy who was a big piece of a mid-major team that went to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mark Pope did the same thing. Lamont Butler, big piece of that San Diego State team that went to the Final Four a year ago. So it's I think both of those teams could be. You don't want to be. I mean, there's something to be said for having experience coming back from a previous year's team, right? Auburn and Alabama are in a different situation than the rest of the league, especially if Sears returns, because of what they bring back versus everybody else. But I think Calipari and Mark Pope, I think both those teams could be really interesting really early on. It might take some time to find them. Think about Ole Miss last year, right? You know, going and assembling a lot of interesting pieces. It may not work.
Well, I mean, in Arkansas last year. I mean, because it had worked a few years for Eric Musselman, and so people just assumed it's going to work again. And sometimes it does. I mean, it worked pretty darn well for Musselman for a couple of years. Did not last year, and things didn't end up the way they started there at Ole Miss.
There's also on Mark, I didn't mention this too. Kentucky has also signed Colin Chandler, who is the he was Mr. Basketball in Utah. He spent the last 2 years on a LDS mission. So he's going to be a 21. So he's going to be a 21-year-old
freshman.
21-year-old freshman is going to be on that team as well. So you got a bunch of guys who have played 113 games each,
and then a 21-year-old freshman.
21-year-old freshman is coming in after 2 years as an LDS mission somewhere.
I saw where somebody has pointed out that Yale, one of the Yale guards,
Mahoney, right?
Yeah, Mahoney is in the transfer portal, and. You know, just there are people like, well, Auburn could use him. Well, I guess if Tahad Pettiford's going to be your second point, maybe.
Trey is going to go play with one of the I think the Yale big is going to Michigan.
Is that right?
Is that Wolf? Was that the name of the
guy? Sounds
one,
right.
One syllable name, something like that. He was the guy that I think people thought that the Yale battle was going to be. Janai versus I want to say it's Danny Wolf or something
that
like that.
That sounds
but he is going to the 7-footer from Yale, who was one of the best players in the Ivy League this past year. He's going to go to Michigan and play alongside Trey Donaldson there in year one for Dusty May.
Yeah, so there's still a lot. There will be a lot of action.
It's a buyer's market
in the portal. No question.
But you think about, I mean, in a year where guys like Dusty May and John Calipari and Mark Pope and Eric Musselman and Andy Enfield at SMU, like some serious players going to some places that are
and then you've got some of the ones that, like, Nate Oates has been a serious player.
I'm just talking year one.
Yes,
I mean, Stanford made a coaching change. I mean, they went and got the coach from Washington State. Like, there are some pretty serious moves that happen around college basketball, and those coaches, virtually all of them, are walking into situations where there's nobody there, and they have to fill their roster up. And so if you're a mid-major guy thinking about, oh, do I stay? Do I go? I mean, I look, all kudos to the dudes who stick around, but we are seeing so many teams at the mid-major level losing their leading scorer, or so many conference player of the years going into the portal, and it's because there are spots available for veteran talent at Kentucky and Arkansas and USC and Stanford and I mean just all over the sport and it's leading to moves like this, and it's been a
It's been lively, yeah. And it's going to continue. It's going to continue.
Business is booming if you're a player in demand in the transfer portal right now.
All right, let's get to our bottom of the hour break. Still plenty of time for you to join in. Again, 334-321-1390 to get you through on the Wednesday Drive.
On ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Wednesday with Bill and Dan. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise? What do we got? Where do you want to go?
We are. You know what? We didn't really talk about the allegations of dirty play.
No. We're going to talk some baseball, and then Yellowhammer called in, and all we got to was talking a little bit about Auburn baseball.
Yeah, we're talking off the air about where the movie galleries were.
I had not. Yeah, that's been a while. I remembered the oldest one because I'm old. But I had not seen all the stories about allegations of chicanery in college baseball.
How about reading from the AP? This is a story from yesterday. The headline. Videos of Georgia pitcher before and during his dominant outing.
Yeah, now I saw the little headline about that. That's the only one that I'd seen.
A&M coach to suspect cheating.
See, I did not read on.
Let's see here. Schlossnagel was asked by the Associated Press on Tuesday if, how do you say his last name? Christian Mercana, I want to say, is the pitcher for Georgia, who had the dominant outing against Texas A&M over the weekend. He was asked, A&M's coach, Jim Schlossnagel, was asked I'll read the entire thing. Social media videos of Georgia's Christian Mercana's activity in the bullpen and during a dominant performance on the mound in a weekend game at top-ranked Texas A&M has led Aggies coach Jim Schlossnagel to suspect the pitcher was putting a foreign substance on the ball in violation of the rules. Quote, certainly appears that way, Schlossnagel said in a text to the Associated Press on Tuesday. It's part of the game. Wish we would have caught it, unquote. He declined further comment. The pitcher from Georgia is a graduate transfer from George Mason, who pitched the last two innings of Georgia's win in College Station on Saturday. He allowed he allowed a single to the first batter he faced and then struck out six in a row to earn the save. A 30-second video in the bullpen posted by Barstool Texas A&M shows the pitcher appearing to work on his glove in the corner. He reaches for something near or behind a post. Otherwise, the video is largely blocked. Another video from the SEC Network telecast shows the pitcher touching the thumb area of his glove with his right fingers between pitches to Texas A&M. Georgia, the SEC, both declined comment when the AP asked about this, and the pitcher in question has not been made available by the Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, and then...
There's something else that happened.
Yeah, and then Schlossnagel, in an interview with Tex Aggs, was asked about sign stealing, and he said that there's an SEC baseball team that was caught using a live video feed from their home dugout, which is a violation of the rules. And he said, and I quote, there are ways we could wire our dugout to get the live feed, and there's a school in our league that got busted. I don't know if people know it yet. I'm not going to reveal it, but they know. They had a live feed going to the dugout all year, and they're hitting 306 at home and 206 on the road.
I will say, having just watched the video in question of the Georgia pitcher, it does look suspicious.
See, I just saw a still shot.
I will be, I'll be diplomatic and say that it looks suspicious. I don't know if anyone is breaking any rules, but I can understand why an opposing team or an opposing coach would be upset about that, because it does between. Yeah, I mean, I could see how someone would jump maybe to that leap of logic.
And it wouldn't be that difficult to go through. I can access the SEC baseball statistics, and we can see who's hitting 306 on the road, 306 at home and 206 on the road. That shouldn't take terribly long to find that one out. I mean, Jim Schlossnagel,
Maracna, maybe. I mean, I'm gonna see if I can get a.
The pitcher.
Yeah, I think that it's M R A C N A. So it's
Maracna.
Maracna maybe. He's the pitcher. He's the pitcher in question. And then the remarks about a team, hitting considerably better on the road than at home. Unclear.
If you can get the signs,
who he's talking about.
Well, he was being asked about stealing signs. Well, you've got video watching the catcher, catcher signals.
I'll tell you what, if I were another coach in the SEC, I would want the SEC to come out and tell us who he's talking about, just so people don't think it's my team.
Yeah, I wonder how the SEC will handle something like that. Will they handle it publicly?
It's public.
Yeah.
Like to
I
me.
I mean, they seems like they do in other sports.
I don't know. Like
if
to
something
me,
like that comes out, seems like the it seems like they've never been about, shy about naming names.
And it's something else, not to give orders to the beat or anything like that, Bill, but this is something every other coach in the conference needs to be asked about, right? Like this is something everyone else in the conference needs to a blanket accusation that goes to 13 other teams. I guess you could do some detective work.
I would think it would be a team that Texas A&M has played.
I would also think it's a team in contention. I don't know, just because they're near the top of the conference. Maybe not. Maybe it could be anyone. But I would. That is a really interesting development there for Schlossnagel to say yes.
Let's see.
Who's hitting like 250?
Well,
would give you 306 right, on the road.
The biggest difference in home and away, this includes non-conference games too, is Arkansas. Arkansas is hitting 299 at home, 211 on the road. Georgia is hitting 332 at home, 251 on the road. But, I mean, that's a lot higher than the numbers that he had. Of course, that might include some non-conference games where they just went insane. Mississippi State, 310 on the road. 310 at home, 233 on the road. Vandy, 306 and 233. Those are the schools that have the biggest difference in splits, home and away. So I would think it would be one of those teams that he's talking about.
He'd also probably cross-reference that with the teams that Texas A&M has played.
Man, A&M's pretty – man, they hit the ball. They hit it so well. They're 330 at home, 292 on the road.
A&M is 15-6 in conference play this year, the current favorite to win the national championship. If you look at the odds on the odds currently for the college baseball season, A&M in SEC play this year has played Florida, Mississippi State. They've played Auburn, they've played South Carolina, they've played Vanderbilt, and they just played Alabama and Georgia last 2 weeks.
All right.
LSU this weekend.
Vandy is one of those teams. They're like I said, 306 at home, 233 on the road.
Arkansas closes out with LSU, Ole Miss, or A&M closes out with LSU, Ole Miss, and Arkansas.
Not played Arkansas, the team with the greatest split.
He didn't necessarily say they played the team.
That's
though,
true.
Right?
Maybe it's a team they're scouting and going, hey.
How about that?
I want this to come out before we play them.
I remember us having a lengthy conversation about Jim Schlossnagel, largely because of his name.
Yeah.
When Auburn was looking for a coach. God, this would have been multiple coaching searches ago, Bill. Like when Auburn was in the market for maybe 04 or it's one of those. I want to say second half of the 2000s, but Auburn kicked the tires on. I want to say he was then the TCU coach, and had done some winning and did his share of winning at TCU before making the jump to Texas A&M.
Yeah, he was at TCU from 04 to 21. Just been at A&M for the last couple of years. But yeah, he's approaching 1,000 career victories. So I mean, it's not just some who is this young guy? No, he's really,
and this may be the best team he's ever had. Like, you know, looking at what A&M's doing this year, and the thought that, I mean, I know that was something Jason said, like that, you know, folks can see so much of the talk about the NIL space is football and men's basketball, and it's understandable. But there are programs that have really invested in different sports other than football and men's basketball in the NIL space, and it's paid dividends immediately mm-hmm. with what they've been able to get. Some folks have been able to turn those kind of teams into champions. And you look and Texas A&M with a really impressive roster this year.
So that's something to keep an eye on. Let's see if we hear any more of the cheating scandals in the SEC that have been pointed out by A&M coach Jim Schlossnagle.
Or maybe the SEC's just going to say, nothing. You know, we're out of the office right now.
I don't know about that.
We're going through a tunnel.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the show. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive. Experience
and knowledge from the Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final segment here on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's get back to the phones. And Tex is next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Hey, by the way, I don't really care much for whiners in baseball about people stealing signs. Most of the people that file those kind of complaints are the ones that are really good at it. So they already know how to handle all that. I've seen the video of the guy. I didn't make a judgment on whether or not he was putting a foreign substance on it. But when my son was 13 years old, he was taught by a major league pitching coach how to put pine tar on his left arm and put dirt over the top of it so that he could get sick during the game. So it's been going on for years and years and years. It's not going anywhere, and he's only guilty if he gets caught, right?
And if anything, I would think that
only found guilty if you're caught.
There's more surveillance in the arenas and more cameras and stuff now. So guys might and it's easier to share video now than it used to be. So yeah, you know, but it may not. I don't know if any serious rules. You know, I don't know if anything's gonna. Well, come. I don't know what's gonna come of this.
What do you think of the other allegations by Schlossnagle though? That video feeds into the dugout and a team hitting 100 points better at home than on the road.
That's an accusation until there's an announcement. The SEC, number one, will, if that is the case, that's a huge violation.
Yes.
That won't go unreported in public. So, stealing signals that way is somebody that's taken the lazy man's way of doing it. I can sit behind home plate in most games and do the pitch sequence. So it's after the first round of nine guys at the plate. You should be able to take the signals now. Now they use you can't because of the radios and everything. So here's my question. If all these teams are using headsets or watches,
then what are they getting from the video?
How do you steal from a video?
That's a very good question, Tex. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. I mean, you're using the headset. The video isn't going to do you any good.
Text. Let me know. I don't want to. If you have other stuff to get to, I don't want to hijack your call. But let me know. Let me know when you're finished, because I do have something to point out when we're done.
Okay.
With text.
You can go ahead. I don't have anything else.
So
it's been a long few weeks.
Do you know who's appearing on tomorrow night's episode of Young Sheldon?
Auburn. You have a better chance of me knowing who won Miss America.
How about this? Tomorrow night's Young Sheldon, one of the last ones they're going to do. I know the series is winding down. Tomorrow night features an appearance by Auburn graduate and Academy Award winner Octavia Spencer, making a guest appearance on tomorrow night's episode of Young Sheldon. So it's amazing how these things find an Auburn link just about anywhere, Tex.
A beautiful, talented young lady who won't be seen on the Morris TV tomorrow.
not in that show, at least.
Not in that show. So tough. Now, if you would have told me Kayla Coco was on there, you got a 50-50 chance. So anyway.
Well, the 14-year-old, again, the 14-year-old version of her.
You might see
an actress playing the 14-year-old version of her.
I feel like they may bring back a lot of the Big Bang Theory cast for the last episode. Like, I could see them breaking out,
like doing some flash forwards,
doing something that gets a lot of the Big Bang Theory cast in there for the final episode or something. I could see that, but no word on her appearance. But I thought, yeah, Octavia Spencer, the old Auburn graduate herself, the Oscar winning Auburn.
Oh, what Dan did, Bill. He had no argument to you can't steal video if it's used on a watch or a wireless. So he went to Young Sheldon.
Yeah,
I didn't. I text. Not only do I not disagree with you, but I'm always nervous about disagreeing with you in these baseball matters too. It's like when we had Greg Olson on, and he was like, "Yeah, explain to me how someone doctors a ball, Dan." And I say, "Uh oh."
Yeah, that's right.
And let me just tell you, you still have to throw strikes.
Yep, that's right.
Whether you put something on it or not, you got to
still got to get it over the plate somehow.
If you ever shake hands with Nolan Ryan, who's been accused before of doctoring the ball, he doctored the ball with these gigantic meat cleaver hands that he has that are so big, when he grabs a ball, it looks like a ping pong ball in his hand. So he may have doctored it once or twice with his forefinger or his pointing finger, but I tell you, he had big hands. Schlossnagel's been known to be kind of a whiner before at TCU. So good baseball coach.
Yeah, he is.
But I'm not much into him or the guy at Tennessee whine way too much. So anyway, again, if you can prove to me that with the video they can see the watch or intercept the radio signals, I'll buy it. I don't buy it till then.
Great stuff, Tex. Appreciate it.
Good hearing you, Tex. All right, take care.
You too.
All right, we are out of time here on the Wednesday Drive. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell.
I'm going to a couple of the games this weekend. Might see Tex in the house if he's around this weekend.
We're planning on it as well. So, hopefully big crowds. Graduation weekend as Auburn hosting the Ole Miss Rebels. All right, and our thanks to Jason Caldwell for coming in. Let's see, tomorrow...
should have some Justin Ferguson.
Hopefully.
You know, maybe in person, maybe on the phone. We'll find out, but it could be a Fergs day.
Well, hopefully so. Join us then. That's going to do it for the Wednesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.